Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open up your word, I ask the Holy Spirit, Father, to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this word, Father, so that we can grow thereby, grow in faith and grow in strength, and grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to you, Father, and with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, so that we can go forth to do your work, Father, that you will call upon us to do. We know, Father, that in this day and time, the work that you do here on this earth, Father, you are doing through mankind. Now, Father, be with us as we go through this study session. And I'm asking this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be in chapter 2. Because we had finished chapter 1. If you remember, we had went through several things there at the end of chapter 1. And ended up with the last three verses of it, as being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass wither, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, we know that the word of God is never ending. Now, there'll be a day in time where he says that the word will pass away. That means because we will be there, and it's not needed anymore, because those that will be there with the Lord Jesus Christ will be and belong to his family. Now, I see, Sister Amy, that you're with us this morning. I'm glad you're with us. And as we get into this chapter 2, here in verse 1, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, to as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, we're going to stop there for just a minute and talk about that. Because you see, we're told that if we are to be that born-again child of God, these are things we have to lay aside or get rid of. Malice. All evil ways and things. And God. Selfishness and pride. Hypocrisies. Speaking and proclaiming one thing, but actually living a different way. And envies. Wanting things that we see others have. And just because they may be something a little different or a little better than what we have, we go to lusting after them, to envy those things. No. You see, that's wrong. And all evil speaking. Watch what your speech is all about. Keep it according to the word of Almighty God. Because you and I are supposed to belong to him. Unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And unto God our Father. Now, we are also to want and desire, as he writes here, the sincere milk of the word. In other words, we are to continue desiring to know what the word of God says to us and has for you and I to live and to do, and also letting us know what not to do so that we can make heaven our home, because it is our guide and our roadmap home to heaven. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ is gracious and good. We know this. Especially if we have been reading the word and studying the word of God and knowing all he has done for mankind and is still doing for you and I. You say, well, he's not here today. No, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. He is our attorney, so to speak, and he's there interceding for us. Now, verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You see, he's talking about a living stone. As we go on here now with 5, it says, ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This body of ours is a house. And our lives is to be of the holy priesthood. And we are to give ourselves completely and totally unto the Lord our God and be available for whatever he has for you and I to do. And then when we know what it is, we make sure that that is what we are doing, is what he is wanting. And we'll find a lot of that in the word of Almighty God. 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and should be the cornerstone of every church and every ministry. And when that is there, and if so, we don't find division and we don't find confusion. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You see, for those that are believers and believe that he is precious, they are the ones that actually are of the family of Almighty God. Because you see, those that are walking out here in darkness and away from God, being disobedient, that stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he's there to give them guidance. He's there to give them love if they would accept it. And he has been made the head of the corner. But he's also, as we're told here in 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. When we are in disobedient unto him and the word, he told us what is going on then. Now, because we are stumbling, you know, and we're not to do that. And when we do, there is a price that we're going to pay. Now, these are things we need to think about. Here in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Uh-oh. We do know that God chooses us all. Now, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, when you are walking out here in the ways of this world, in the ways of Satan, you're walking in darkness. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light of this world. As you go through it, he is also the light of your life to light your way so that you have salvation as you go through this life. And as you make your way, holding on to him until the end. In other words, until you step out of this life and into eternity, you hold on to him, and he will be your light and guide your pathway so that you will be accepted into heaven. Think about it. Now, 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. And you see, that's something we can't buy. It don't matter how much money you got, you can't buy it. It is a gift. Just as grace is a gift. The Holy Spirit that comes to be with you to give you power, to give you anointing, to give you knowledge, strength, is a gift. None of that. We can't buy none of it. And we cannot work to obtain it. You say, well, yeah, we're supposed to do good works. Yes, we are. But we do the good works not to gain these things. We do the good works because we already have it. We've already got salvation. That's why we do the good works, not the other way around. Now, 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. All kinds of fleshly lust. And there's many of them out there today. Many things that we lust after. We want it so bad. And yet, most of it we don't need. And we're not to be doing that. Because, you see, he says here, that is another thing that will war against the soul. It's an enemy. 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Glorify God in the day of visitation. 13. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him from the punishment, or for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. I want you to listen to this as we go. And remember, as I'm reading, I'm trying to read slow enough so you don't forget most of it. Now, we're told to submit ourselves to all of these that we've read. 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We are to obey our governors and all of our leadership, which is right in the eyes of God, until they give us something to do that is against the word of God. And then we obey God rather than man. We'll be getting into that later on. Now, 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servant of God. You see, we do all of this not to be malicious and do a lot of things that we shouldn't be doing. We got to live our lives as the servants of Almighty God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king as long as we can and as long as he's not trying to lead us away from God. We've got a lot of evil leadership going on right now, and we all know that. Now, that's something that we don't need to be agreeing with, but there is a lot of them out there doing exactly that. 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. In other words, we're not mischief with mischief or evil for evil. We are to continually walk with God. So we are acceptable to him. And he told us there how to do it. Now, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they put a movie out about that, following in his steps. And it is a good movie. A good movie. I have it. I've watched it several times. And it really gives us something to think about. 22. Told us to follow his steps. And then in 22, it says, who did no sin, neither was gall found in his mouth. In other words, he had no sin. He did no sin at all. And he did not speak things that he was not to speak. Now, 23. Who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. We know that even when they nailed him to the cross, after the beatings and all, and with a crown of thorns on his head that had to be very, very painful, and then driving the nails through him to nail him to that cross. And you know, he asked the Father to forgive him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't revolting against them, was he? No, not even then. He was asking for forgiveness for them. That's how we are to live our lives. Someone does something against us, we not only forgive that, but we pray for them, and we pray that they will find the right way to do and the right way to go until they can make heaven their home also. Now, 24. Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, on that cross. He wasn't going there because of his sins. He was going there because of our sin. That we, being dead to sins, live unto righteousness. You see, when we were accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ and our sins are forgiven and we have done what we have supposed to done, and we've been baptized in his name and all, brought him into our lives, then we too are being dead to sin and should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. You see, he also at the cross gave you and I healing, and it was by the stripes that was on his body at that time. him taking those stripes, and he used them to give you and I healing. We were told about that in Isaiah 53. Think about it. You say, oh, no, Isaiah couldn't have known anything about it. Well, he did. In fact, he knew all about the birth and all of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knew all about it. You take Isaiah chapter 53, and verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. For whose? For ours. And this is Isaiah 430 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was even born. Now, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You see, everything. Everything you and I really need was on him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Think about that. 430 years before he was born, it was prophesied about it. 25, and this is the last verse of chapter 2. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We all, in the beginning of our lives, we're doing things we shouldn't be doing, and we had all committed sin. But once we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in truth and honesty and ask for that forgiveness of sin, and we ask and invite the Lord Jesus in, and we have been baptized with him. You know, being baptized with the Lord Jesus Christ covers a lot of things. Most, even our churches today, don't really explain about baptism. And when you do baptism that way, and people don't know what is happening, nothing does. Think about that. You know, you can go to Romans 6. And we're going to go there because as I led you to this thought, I want you to know that it's not mine, it's God's word. Now, when you're baptized, this is what happens. In Romans chapter 6, we'll start right here with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Remember back in Peter, we were told we were dead to sin. Here we find it again in Romans chapter 6 and verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, it's going to tell you how you become dead to sin. says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You were being baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, when you were baptized and you were lowered down in under that water, you was being buried with the Lord Jesus Christ. You was putting on his death. And as you come up out of that water, you was being raised up from the dead in his resurrection. Your life is changed, and you are to walk in newness of life. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, you see, the weakness and all of a lot of our churches and how things come about they'll baptize you by John's baptism, which is doesn't work. Not anymore. It did in that day and time, yes. That was while they were under the Mosaic law. We are not under Mosaic law. Jesus, when he died and was resurrected, he fulfilled that. And we are under grace and under this the new age and under the New Testament by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man doesn't want to hear that because he's hearing that there is a lot of things in his life he don't want to turn loose of and stop doing. And he knows that if he lives by the Word of God, that would have to be done. And he stays out here on his own. And one day, he'll step out of this life and into eternity. And when he faces him, he's going to hear, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. You better get right with God and be in his word and his word in you. And you bringing that word to life because you're living his word. And especially if you're going to make heaven your home. We're going to stop there. And we'll, God willing, we'll be in chapter 3. First Peter, let me tell you something. There's some good stuff in it also. Real good stuff in chapter 3. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word and we thank you for this word, Father. We're always thankful for this word. And Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus that went to the cross, that took the beatings, Father, for us, that bore those stripes, Father, and was nailed to that tree, Father. Father, and he went there for each one of us to make a way for us to make heaven our home. And the Holy Spirit, Father, that we have, that has been sent back with an anointing to us to give us knowledge, wisdom, strength, and power. And your gifts, Father, to use to do our work for you, Father. You not only made just a way, but you gave us everything we need in order to be able to do what you call upon us to do. Father, Israel, Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them, because we know they don't have peace right now. And even more than that, Father, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that Israel one day will be known as the land of Jesus. We're praying for our land, Father. Right now, Father, we're praying for help with the leadership of our government and our churches, Father, that are ruled and governed by evil. And we're praying for them to be replaced, those that belong to you, Father, those that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people, and love this country, that will help us to bring this land to repentance so we can be healed and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we separate this morning, Father, I pray that you keep us all in health, keep us all safe through this day, use us in great ways, and I pray, Father, that you can lead us each one to someone that is in need of hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to reach him. Someone that we can help, Father, to save the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone, Father, that's in need. Let us help them to make heaven their home. Now be with us, Father. Keep us all. Bring us back together again this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. and back into your word. This is my prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, all. Have a good day. God bless. I've got a trip to make, so keep me in your prayer that he'll keep me safe on my little journey. It's not a real, real long one, but any time that we get out here on these highways, it can be dangerous. So keep me in your prayer. Keep you in my prayers, and hopefully We'll be together again at 6 p.m. this evening. Maybe we'll have some new ones with us. But praise God. Give him praises all through the day and thank him for what he's done for us. Have a great day now. Bye-bye.